This is Jim Cornette, and you're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, and you made the right choice.
We interrupt your Wednesday afternoon to let you know that that soundbite is not pay for play, is it?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Yes, breaking news this afternoon. Jim Cornette is actually backing a Heyman product. Yay! Oh.
Dude, that was coming.
No, okay, that's not the breaking news, Nikki. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Next page.
Yeah, that's for the next show. That's for the show proper on Friday. No. Destination America dropped the bomb and may have dropped the bomb on a promotion in the process with news that Ring of Honor Wrestling has signed a 26-week deal to appear on Destination America effective this coming Wednesday, the 3rd of June.
Sound effect right there. Right there.
I don't know which sound effect to use.
How about win? How about a win one right there? Okay. That's a win.
I don't know what to think, but you know.
Well, let's give you some details here. This has been a deal that's been in the works for many, many months, to be quite frank. Of course, Ring of Honor airs a syndicated program produced by Sinclair over Sinclair Broadcasting's broadcast affiliates. That will continue. Matter of fact, this show is essentially going to be a retransmission of the previous weekend's, the past weekend's show on the Sinclair stations. Of course, being on Destination America means you're in bigger markets, and now New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and 57 million more homes in total will be able to see Ring of Honor's syndicated program. This is a situation where Ring of Honor is earning rights fees. And this is going to tie into Impact Wrestling, because Destination America's problem with Impact Wrestling, as we report from 411 Mania and other sources here, TNA, they were paying them and not making money, diddly squat on advertising. This is just essentially barter programming to fill, more or less. There is no relationship between Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling, as you probably know. And the biggest story about this, TNA, in what can only be described as being thrown under the damn bus and run over about 15 times, had no clue what was going on. In fact, via Twitter, earlier this Wednesday afternoon, one of the top TNA stars, MVP, on Twitter, quote, "At no time was TNA talent, that I'm aware of, notified of ROH airing on at Destination America. I'll refrain from commenting until after, quote unquote, the call." The call referring to a conference call that Dixie Carter made, allegedly, with TNA talent at 3 p.m. this afternoon. And then shortly followed up 6 minutes later with another tweet. Yeah, so, promoters, book MVP now at gmail.com. I think that tells you. That tells you everything, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, damn! Shot now, fucking fired!
Nuclear!
And is he wrong?
No!
Not in the least.
Excuse me, the word is get the fuck out of Dodge before the ship sinks, motherfuckers. Serious.
Exactly.
I reference a Kappa Ame animation from last summer with Seth and the briefcase swimming in the ocean before Happy Scary Dean comes and shark attacks them. And in the background, you just see this little boat that says Impact Wrestling on it, and it gets about halfway across the screen when suddenly you see, boom! That's what happened today.
Yep.
And here's the thing. I don't mean to be rude and foul, but Jim, you brought up something that this is you know, we're talking about the 7-year rule. We joke about the 7-year rule.
This is about the 16-year rule.
This is the 16-year rule. Why don't you bring it up for people who don't remember that?
As a big ECW aficionado in the outskirts of the Philadelphia market, big ECW fan, and of course, 1999, they got a national television deal for the first time to coincide with their pay-per-views with TNN at the time, currently Spike TV. Well, essentially, TNN used ECW as a test to see if wrestling programming on their newfangled The National Network would fly. it did fly. So much so that ECW was pretty much thrown under the bus so that they could pick up the then World Wrestling Federation broadcast within, what, a year, 12 months, 14 months after the original deal started. So we're seeing that part two here, because Impact Wrestling was essentially, as far as I can tell, used in the same manner. This is a channel that needs something. This is a channel that's looking for a direction, Destination America, of the Discovery tiered networks. It's at the bottom, quite frankly, or near the bottom. So let's see. Will wrestling fly on this network? Will people watch? Okay, the numbers aren't great, but they're better than most of the other programs on the network. Okay, wrestling will fly here, but the advertising, it's costing us too much. We don't make anything out of the deal. Ring of Honor, you're going to provide everything for us? Pretty much a barter? Okay, we're down with that. Let's go backdoor and get them in. It's exactly like it was with ECW and WWF in 2000 all over again. I said it would be like this months ago. I didn't expect it to be Ring of Honor to do this. I thought it was going to be GWF, to be brutally honest.
And we didn't expect this to happen a week after the nuclear bombshell of last Wednesday, NXT, and the canceling.
Yes, but Jim, may I?
Yes, please. I'm sorry. Your show.
Just for you, sir.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it. Woo!
I just thought you could use that.
Thank you. I mean, I feel bad for the talent in one respect from Impact Wrestling, but in another respect, I don't. If you're going to stay on the ship, if you're going to stay on the Titanic and swab a wet deck and take on the flooding, and you will be like Dido and go down with this ship, you will not turn your eyes up and surrender. I kind of have no remorse in that regard, which is why I don't feel a damn bit bad for Dixie Carter, because the blindsided, blind as a bat businesswoman that she is, she should have seen this coming.
And as part of the epic take that of the Ring of Honor announcement, there are four major posters we have. We've got Jay Lethal.
Take that.
I don't follow enough, so I don't know who the other two posters are.
Young Bucks are on there, aren't they?
The Young Bucks are the third one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, let me see if I can find.
But the fourth one is the
definitive middle finger.
The money shot.
Yeah.
The double bird.
Because the fourth one is your current reigning defending IWGP heavyweight champion, AJ Styles.
And it's beautiful. I'm sorry. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's Chris Sabin, by the way. Chris Sabin is one of the posters.
That's Sabin?
That's Sabin?
Yeah.
Where's the rest of the hair?
No. The one that says Made in Detroit, that one?
That's also
Christopher Daniels. That's Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, and then the other one. Yeah.
Well, on the 411 Mania, who's the one right below Lethal?
Let me take a look. Lethal.
With the goatee, beard, yeah.
Don't know.
Guess what? They'll have plenty of chance to teach us, won't they now? 26-week deal. And if the ratings substantiate enough, because this is going to be an hour show. This is going to be on from 8 to 9. And for at least the summer, possibly longer, possibly not, it's going to be Wednesday night, Ring of Honor, 8 to 9 o'clock on Wednesdays. Followed by 2 hours of Impact Wrestling. That's going to fly over like a pig in anyway.
And on the network, you've got NXT. The Wednesday night war is real.
Yeah.
We're not done yet.
We're not done. Excuse me. But wait.
There's more.
Yes, there's more. Lucha. Lucha.
Lucha Underground. Anyway. Yes.
Four-way dance.
No, I'll leave.
No, it gets better.
Keep going.
We got a five-way dance. Try Access TV in New Japan.
May I just say, the best announcer in wrestling right now is Mauro Ranallo. I'm saying it right now. Best play-by-play guy is Mauro Ranallo. He calls the damn moves and can further a story doing it. Hey, Vince, get it through your fat, senile head.
Ho! Shots fired right there.
Deservedly so. This war is wrestling overload. My DVR can only do two things at once, I think.
We're going to need another DVR, Michael.
Excuse me. I think there's a sound effect if your DVR tries to record all five of them at once, you know?
Something like this.
No.
And it'll take the TV and the PS1 with it.
No, that's the sound effect that was heard around the Nashville headquarters at about 2 o'clock this afternoon of Impact Wrestling. And now we've got to be serious here. Talking about Impact, I know it's something we don't like to do here.
That's what we're doing now, so we don't have to do this on Friday.
We'll get more details on Friday, and it'll be even a bigger nuclear bomb. It'll go with a thermonuclear bombshell by then.
Yeah, because we're still awaiting fallout, as it were, from the actual conference call that was called this afternoon.
It'll get leaked somehow to somewhere.
It's got to be. And one of the things you wanted to talk about, Nikki, is the Samoa Joe angle of this all, because Samoa Joe is still allowed to work with Ring of Honor for at least a few weeks, a few months, or is he? Question mark.
WWE will allow Joe to finish up any inmates he had before he signed. What makes this funnier, though, is the fact that does Joe have stuff in the can for TNA?
No, I don't believe so.
Nobody's got stuff for Ring of Honor.
No, he will have stuff for Ring of Honor, because the night after Best in the World on June 20th at Terminal 5 is a tape date. And I will tell you about this particular tape date, because it has a dream match, okay? Let me get there for you, because it is a TV taping.
The match is going to be AJ Styles teaming with Samoa Joe to face Kazarian and Christopher Daniels.
Holy crap!
Excuse me.
Internet explode.
Excuse me.
Oh, the splooge.
Yeah.
You broke the internet again.
Well, here's the more interesting thing. Now, I mean, look, Joe has taped a month's worth of shows right now for NXT, including the one that will – I don't know if he's on this show, but I know he wrestles, I think, 2 weeks from now, I think. He wrestles one show against some guy and uses the Muscle Buster and Samoa Joe. And then he fights a double DQ against Kevin Owens, which is, you know, 3 to 4 weeks from now. And 3 to 4 weeks from now, you could have Samoa Joe competing against himself.
Truly is wars all over again.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. But here's the legit serious question. One, for Joe's part. Does WWE try to sign him exclusively?
They can, but that would be counter to what they have done with talent in the past. Now, if all of this was booked before Joe put his name on the dotted line for NXT, they're going to let him play. But after that, like I said on the podcast last week, once he's got all that taken care of, he belongs to the WWE. Because WWE doesn't loan their talent out lightly.
Nope.
Or cheaply.
But now we must talk about the 900-pound gorilla in the room.
Jesus making a return?
Oh. No, Gunner? No.
Bram, actually. No. No, all joking aside. with TNA still have taped their stuff for a while, right?
Right.
What does this mean for them? We've all, we've said, okay, this is the end of it. No, wait, this is the end of it. All right, no.
We've been saying this since even before Bischoff and Hogan appeared on the January 4th show.
So this is a five and a half year bleed, pretty much.
Yeah, slow bleed that has, you can only have so many tourniquets at this point.
And you can only do so many transfusions. And even those weren't much.
And now they're running out of blood.
Sorry, guys. I can't donate till August.
Do they survive? 26 weeks. That's through December.
I think TNA is, since they've got all this in the can, Destination America doesn't have to give them anything else if they don't want to.
Herein lies something interesting. I just went to Dixie Carter's Twitter. I know, try to control yourself.
Oh, boy.
Dude, you lose IQ points doing that.
Well, this was from 10 hours ago. So, again, this was before the news that, crossed the line, you might say. thank you. She put up a link for a pre-sale for the UK tour, which would be occurring at the end of January in 2016. So there is the belief, at least, prior to the news of this day, that TNA is going to at least try to hold down for it until they can get to where they make their bread and butter, sadly, and where they make their most money, and that's overseas in England.
Interesting tweets. 45 minutes ago, Gunner, starting June 3rd, Impact Wrestling on Destination America, new night, same amazing talent. Interesting hashtag, we ain't leaving, all caps.
Well, according to PW Insider, another source, that these tweets are, hold on a second here.
Dixie Carter saying, don't listen to them. Anyway.
No, that.
Matt Hardy.
TNA did not make the request of the talents for the plugs of Ring of Honor. So they're doing this on their own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That's because they're looking for the lifeboat.
Yeah. Dixie, just within the last hour, great work done by @GallowaySpeaks today. Hashtag show your impact is all of our chance to hashtag stand up together as we move to Wednesday night 8 Central on @DestinationAmerica.
Right. So. Matt Hardy Brand, I'm guessing this is Matt Hardy's official Twitter.
Yeah, Matt Hardy Brand is his Twitter.
Yeah. Hottest wrestling network in the industry. At Destination America, starting 6-3, it's home to ROH and TNA. What a 1-2 punch.
Ironically, a 1-2 punch to Impact's nuts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
A kick followed by a punch to the nuts.
I mean, right now, Ring of Honor is in the catbird seat. Even if they draw half the number Impact does, they're going to give Destination America more money because of the way the deal is. Essentially, Sinclair is absorbing all the production costs. So it's, money can be made for Ring of Honor and exposure especially, and money can be made for Destination America. Impact, by comparison, seemingly is bleeding Destination America's whatever is allocated to them dry. So,
and Dixie knew walking in that their budget was going to get cut.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's going to be interesting to see where this goes as the summer goes on. I don't think this goes further than September. I really, really don't. Where all brands. I mean, it's funny. You see the number threes on Twitter, and we're kind of number threeing to a certain extent here because this is big news. But those who are radical, the marks who are very smart, talking about how the two brands may intermingle with one another, to which I say, not a chance in hell.
First of all, if any of the Ring of Honor talent actually have a chance to approach Dixie, this is what's going to happen.
Get the bricks! Yeah!
And then New Jack will show up and hit everybody with whatever weapons he has in his garbage can.
Okay, 6 hours ago, Jason Solomon, not sure if this is any kind of credibility on here.
Well, this this is before the news drops, yeah. So take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Like I said, not sure if this is anybody credible. James Storm says hashtag TNA officials told him there was nothing to worry about regarding reports of Impact being canceled. That's actually coming from a WrestleChat link also.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back to the Dave Meltzer stuff, guys, where Meltzer said last week that the Impact was effectively gone. Destination America and Impact, well, especially Destination America, backs up. Oh, well, no, not the case. Maybe Meltzer had part of the information askew and didn't realize, oh, maybe they won't be canceled, but something else is going to come in to eventually take their place.
Excuse me. To all the number threes out there, okay, you owe Meltzer an apology. Thank you.
Good luck getting it.
I know. I'm just saying, okay? And we actually we're actually going to bring someone in from our sister recording of WLTI Live, because he has some sort of like inside media information regarding this.
Go get him.
We're going to pick him up right now. It is Gordon Pepper of WLTI Live, and we'll see if we can get him on the line right here.
Yeah, just hold on 1 second.
Hello, Gordon.
Yes, hello, Gordon. You're on right now with the NAWC special report. Why don't you give us your thoughts on this whole Destination America thing?
Well, if you equate it to a pair of supermarkets, you can say that the grand union between Destination America and TNA has, shall we say, been Costco'd.
we'll let certain people in certain parts of the country Wikipedia Grand Union so they get the reference, but point taken. Point very well taken.
I'm sorry, Jay, you go first.
No, I was just about to say, just give us your media insight as to what you were talking about as cost cutting, because we did mention this, but I want to hear your take on it.
Yeah, well, and if you if you continue the sports, supermarket references, I believe TNA just got a BJ on the wrong end of one.
Oh, jeez. And yes, you could say that because we are not, you know, French is
uncensored.
Legal. Uncensored, sir. You're good.
Yes, French is.
And you can get it wholesale. So, but in all seriousness, though. What it means is that Destination America is going to see if they can get the same ratings or better with something that costs a fraction of what they currently have on the air. If they do that, then TNA is in deep, deep doo-doo. Add to the fact that the rumors have already been flying that TNA's programming has already been canceled. If that's the case, and if this is their way of easing in the new product, whereas removing the old product, TNA better be looking for a new TV station and fast.
Do you think they'll find one? Because remember, Destination America didn't have as many coverage pieces as Spike TV did.
And that's where the bigger problem is. The bigger problem is that this was TNA's best chance to get a deal with something that has a fraction of the audience and a fraction of the budget that Spike has, and that's their best deal. And all of a sudden, in less than around 6 months, that deal's gone away. Looking at the landscape, the only thing I can think of that would even be remotely close to anything resembling a deal would be either True TV or CMT. Now, again, playing a little inside baseball here, all three of these chains, networks have something in common, and that is that they're all owned by Viacom. Now, and you would think that if you're going to lose a program, the first thing that you would want to do is instead of shopping completely out of the zone is to try to shop horizontally. So you would think that the first thing that they would want to do would be to go to True or to CMT immediately, first of all. So I'm assuming that they're smarter than I am and they tried to do this already.
No.
You're assuming a lot, Gordon.
That makes an ass out of you and me.
Fine, I'm assuming a lot. But if they decided to do that and this is what they got, if they didn't decide to do it, they better do it. If they didn't decide to do it and this is what they got, I don't know what else, what other station could be viable. Maybe a Pivot Television.
But again, you're looking at a very narrow scope, a narrow landscape. True TV of the networks you mentioned makes all the sense in the world. They recently have gotten into the boxing game, among other things. They have a Friday Night Fights package. I think it's it may or may not be in conjunction with the Premier Boxing Champions stuff that's on seemingly every network. But True TV, a network that has rebranded themselves as the new True TV in the last few weeks and months, trying to find their niche, as it were. So that could be a viable possibility.
Well, that is one of the reasons why I suggested True TV would be that, for exactly the reasons that you just mentioned. If they're picking up boxing, there's a good chance that they could be persuaded to pick up wrestling also. And, of course, with the TNT brand, you already have Steve Austin with his set of programming, so that would not be a complete stretch either.
Mm-hmm.
But where else, the other question is this, that maybe outside that, maybe Fox Sports, where else can you see a show like TNT landing? I mean, obviously, you're not going to go to USA. That's already been occupied by the WWE. I get it. And if they went through the Viacom offerings, that knocks out a couple of other things in terms of networks. I mean, and again, where else are you going to go? Pivot could be an opportunity, but again, they don't really have the budget for something like this. I mean, Destination America doesn't have it. Pivot certainly doesn't have it.
And if you remember, correctly, Spike TV was paying a lot of the wrestlers' salaries before they left.
That is correct, sir.
And also, right now, as we talked about earlier, you now have 5 wrestling shows on Wednesday, which is insane considering what happened a couple of years ago. You're talking NXT, Impact, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, and New Japan. So you're right. Where does TNA go?
Yeah, but the one thing that's going to make this a little bit different than the Monday Night Wars, because I'm assuming that's what you're referencing, is that none of these shows are big major shows. Even NXT, though it has the cult following, doesn't need the massive ratings to survive. So you can have 5 low-rated or lower-rated TV shows than what you'd usually get from a 3.8 to a 4.0 of a WWE, and all 5 of them can still function properly. That being said, you know, in a Monday Night Wars situation where you had the WWE versus WCW, the landscape's not big enough for more than a pair of 3.5 to 4.0 ratings. So, again, for 5 little shows, that's fine. But, again, and here's what TNA's bigger problem is going to be. If Destination America gets Ring of Honor comparable, they don't have to beat it, just comparable to what TNA is. TNA's in big trouble. I mean, they're in big trouble already, but this could be the final nail in the coffin, so to speak.
Talking with, sorry to interrupt, Jason, I'll get back to you there. Talking with Gordon Pepper, for those just listening in at this portion of the podcast, he's with WLTI Live, CLW83.com's game and reality show program, and a media insider. He knows the business like few other that we know around here. Go ahead, Jason.
I was about to say, and the only ratings number, what is it now, between 400,000 and 500,000?
Yes.
Destination America gets, which was a fraction, which is, what, about a half? Spike?
And that number you mentioned, the 400,000 or 500,000, you might want to cut that in half almost, or say 2/3 of that number at best. Most recently, this past week, they re-aired last year's Slammiversary and got, I believe it was about 290,000 or so, give or take, views for re-airing a 3-hour pay-per-view. So,
you really can't count that because that's a Memorial Day weekend.
Well, I understand that, but the numbers have eroded from the highs. They have eroded. There's no question about it. In fact, they've also pulled programming. They pulled the Saturday morning specialty programming. That's gone already.
You mean, so what was that called? Unlocked?
Yeah.
Unlocked or something like that? Well, let me ask you something, Nikki, before I ask Gordon this. Do you think Ring of Honor can get 400,000 to 500,000?
I think they can. I mean, they'll have their, you know, they'll have the carryover from the Sinclair people. And what I've seen from the fan boards is like, yay, Ring of Honor's on at a reasonable hour. Now we can actually watch it together.
Yeah.
I completely and utterly agree with Nikki, by the way. I think Nikki's 100% right. And I'm going to add something else to this. Keep in mind, again, Samoa Joe just made his big splash over at NXT. But he's the main staple of Ring of Honor, and based on Ring of Honor's press release, they're going to use him. So,
hold the phone there, Gordon.
I'm sorry?
I don't mean to steal your thunder, but just posted on WrestleChat. WWE might actually tell him he can't go to Ring of Honor.
They may tell him that, but if Destination America, or I should say Ring of Honor, already has that footage, WWE really can't do that much about it.
And there's no footage yet.
That's what they say. That doesn't mean that they don't have it. I'm almost certainly sure that there is footage of Samoa Joe somewhere on a previous Ring of Honor show that they will have no problem whipping out and using.
That's an interesting point.
Well, Samoa Joe is tied to the WWE. Ring of Honor certainly is not.
Well, for those who are not in the know, and maybe you can help Gordon with this, or Jason, or somebody who watches or knows of the schedule, how does Ring of Honor tape in comparison, say, to Impact Wrestling, where they bulk tape as well? I'm assuming Ring of Honor also bulk tapes multiple shows, with one live. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. Well, I don't know if they do a one live show, but they do a lot of taped stuff, and they also intersperse it with a lot of the pay-per-view matches.
Okay.
Like, I think the next TV taping is going to be June 20th at Terminal 5 after Best in the World. Mm-hmm. So they've probably got plenty of material that they can use. But,
oh, no question about it.
But the question is, though, I bet you Mr. Levesque is on the phone with Mr. Cineo saying, look, what will it take for you to be exclusive, or something to that effect? I don't know.
Can you be my best friend?
I'm sorry, Gordon.
I'll say what Nikki said. That's a completely different story and a completely different argument. But no, I agree with Nikki on that also. But again, as we've all mentioned, and I think we've all skated around this point, you have contracts from wrestlers in terms of exclusivity. You have other contracts in terms of non-exclusivity. You have contracts that one person may do one organization, not the other. Keep in mind that Samoa Joe contract, and Nikki, please correct me if I'm wrong, that he could work in both companies, or at least a company that does not have a nationally televised audience. So him working for Ring of Honor and him working for WWE Next was okay until around 24 hours ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. Yeah,
that's going to be the sticking point, and I think Hunter's is on the phone with the big Samoan and just saying, "Hey, Samoa Joe, I'll be your best friend."
What is interesting? We mentioned
this. Does that mean that Bailey comes over and gives him a big hug also?
Hug.
Did somebody say?
Indeed. One of the fallouts, we were trying to find out information, and I'm sure Brett and the crew at WrestleChat.net are working hard, 25 hours of the day, not enough hours of the day if you catch them adrift, to get information. But obviously one of the fallouts from the conference call earlier this afternoon is, okay, we got to drum up something on social media, and Kurt Angle just posting a few minutes ago, "I've been with TNA longer than any wrestling company." That's actually hard to believe, but it's true. I am proud to be their world champion and, wait for it, # stand up for the people who supports me.
# dork.
Also # improper English, but that's okay.
What about
they want him for his wrestling. What was that?
Say that again?
I said, what about # pull a Ric Flair? Remember when Ric Flair was the world champion of WCW and then went to WWE while he was the world champion?
Yeah.
Anybody got a garbage can? Oh, no, wrong wrestler.
Yes. Wrong sex, in fact, I believe.
Well, no, Medusa Michelli was the one that put the title in the garbage can when she was at WCW.
Yes, but WWE is that petty.
Yeah.
I don't think it's petty. I think it's about protecting your common interest. I mean, if I'm McMahon, I do the exact same thing. Why do I want Ring of Honor, even if it's a very distant number two, get any traction? I want nothing. I let's put it this way. If I thought even Shikara was threatening my existence in terms of being the number one wrestling company, I sent CP Monk and Colt Colt Cabani and the rest of the wildlife
here. Yeah, where's Super Dragon? No. Here's the thing I have.
Dragon's
amazing too. Here's the thing. I think this is the difference between Vince still running the company and Triple H if he had run the company. Honest to goodness, as dumb as this sounds, if Triple H was in charge, I would think he would look at this from a bigger perspective and think, hey, Samoa Joe's going to be on Ring of Honor, but he's ours. So really, it's like shameless self-promotion for us.
It's free advertising.
Free advertising. So I don't think he would have as much of a problem with it. But Vince, he's ours. You can't fight with the other team. You can't be there.
Here's where I think you're wrong. What happens if Samoa Joe on Ring of Honor turns into a glorified jobber?
No, it's like a one match.
Then
I think
it's a one off. No, I don't think he could.
This is a spot show technically, and that's why I don't think WWE is going to stop him. And to that, I'd say, who in the frick would argue with Samoa F and Joe?
Yeah.
He broke the name generator.
Yes, Joey Samoa. Yes.
Joey Sam. Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's one of those things where we're in sort of uncharted territory here, because I don't think we've ever had a network do two different promotions on the same network before.
The closest thing I can think of was that, Dark Sunday or Saturday or whatever it was, when TBS actually aired WWF programming for a year in the 80s, and I think they had, like, the next morning on an off-peak hour, Georgia Championship Wrestling with Gordon Solie. That's the only thing that comes to my mind immediately.
I think the closest thing that you had it in this era was when Ravishing Rick Rude appeared on both the WWE and WCW at the same time on the same night.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, the joys of taping in advance.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, and by the way, here it is. According to several, this is from a PW Insider literally about 25 minutes ago. According to several sources who took part in today's conference with Dixie Carter discussing the company today with TNA staff and wrestlers, there was no real explanation given regarding the current situation with Destination America. It was intimated that due to the nature of the contract, TNA nor Destination America can publicly comment. Regarding Ring of Honor, the impression was that TNA, due to their relationship with the company, could not speak on the show until it was announced. A few people thought that was, well...
Bullshit.
Thank you.
Yes, and the general belief among that on the call, the TNA didn't know about it until it was announced. Once the call was opened up for wrestlers, the call did get very heated. I was told at one point, Colder told the wrestlers it was up to them to show the world why they were the best in the world and that they controlled their own destiny. Oh! Hit that button! Hit that button again!
No, this was the answer.
This is bullshit!
Yeah.
And they're all gonna walk over to Ring of Honor.
Right. This
and they'll be welcome with open arms, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And of course, try this. This led to some of the issues of the past year, including the move from Spike and the pay issues brought up. No shit!
Yes!
Okay, and I was told that Carter responded as if the pay issues were in the past. Hey, Shane, what do you think about that?
This is bullshit!
Yep.
And actually, I have a second comment.
You're a lying sack of crap, and you know it!
Yeah.
He's right, you know.
Yes. I heard differing opinions from talents. One said he felt better now that the situation had been addressed. His talents were no longer in the dark and hoped everyone could get back to performing and not worrying. The talent referred to the call as a big family blowout, and now that everyone said their piece, there was a feeling of communication, and now everyone could get back to work. Another called it a circus call in one of the floodgates open for the talent. Some talents began bringing up personal issues that would have been better dealt in a one-on-one forum. Still another told me it was 90 minutes of nothing but substance truly being addressed, while noting the company was adamant they wanted things kept private, while asking talents not to speak out and leak things.
Oops.
Oh, boy. Gordon, I think TNA's really – it's just got worse, and napalm just got put on the fire, don't you think?
I think this is just as much fun as David Black going to a referee symposium.
I like it.
Oh, good.
How many timeouts do I have again? Yeah, it's pretty it's pretty much, well, we slicked up the bridge. We've got the napalm where we're just waiting for the little bird to sit on the plunger so it can just, so it can blow everything up sky high.
Anybody know the whistling tune for Bridge Over the River Kwai? No. We're at that point. We're really at that point.
I mean, we'll put it to you this way. The fact is that I'm glad the talents talked about the pay issues because we knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and of course, denial is a river in Egypt right now. They're in denial. They are in serious denial right
all
now.
All the way up to their necks.
Hey, Scott Hall, come back. Scott Hall, come back.
Hey, yo.
But then he won't show up.
No.
Because
DDP is going to catch him halfway there anyway.
pretty much.
Let me ask you something. With global force on the horizon, I got to ask you, Gordon. Does TNA last the year? Do they?
I don't think they last till the end of 2015, let alone the full entire year. I mean, where are they going to get again? What network's going to pick them up? Where are they going to get the money? That's questions one and question two, right there in that order. If they do not answer either of them in around 2 months, TNA will cease to exist. And keep this in mind. With Global Wrestling Force open up, all of a sudden it's now, hey, the old TNA guys, it's me, Jeff Jarrett, remember me? I used to be your friend over at TNA. Now come over here and I'll pay you.
What? Wow, Gordon, bringing the heat.
And the facts and the knowledge.
Unfortunately, it's true.
It is true.
Jarrett's got financial backing. They've been looking at venues, they've been talking to talent.
They're doing a minor league baseball tour over the course of the summer.
Yeah.
And they're actually going to get paid. They're going to get paid.
It's something other than coupons.
You know what's funny? The GF, Global Force Wrestling, kind of is in the same boat Impact was when they started 13 years ago. You have people who were involved with a prior competing promotion to WWE starting something up from the ashes of what was WCW, and now this is from the ashes of what was Impact Wrestling when you get right down to it. Everything is cyclical with the wrestling business. So it seems. We joke, like you mentioned earlier, Jason, about the 7-year rule. It's the 10, 12, 13-year rule right about now, and I'm not saying that Jarrett's promotion's going to succeed or fail. I'm too early to really tell because we don't know all the plans with it, but it might be a safe haven for those who are, you know, can't get to Ring of Honor, can't go to Japan.
Go to Lucha, can't go to all this stuff.
Exactly, and want to bail Impact Wrestling before, you know, they get flooded over.
It reminds me of a line from Chris Rock talking about cheating women.
Mm.
A man is as faithful as his options.
Preach.
The thing is, in this particular case now, and Gordon, you'll understand it, we have never seen, at least, you know, in my lifetime, more competent, big-name wrestling promotions where talent can go to at this point.
Or incompetent, depending on how you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean is that you have Lucha Underground. You have New Japan. You have NXT. You have, you know, eventually, you know, WWE, Ring of Honor, and all these places, they're going to pay. TNA at this particular point, it's a sinking ship. It's a sinking ship.
This is a company that will pay six figures to have Hulk Hogan on board, yet the Knockouts get $75 a match. Okay, that's the history. That's the sad history of Impact Wrestling. They will pay big, out-of-date names, big money, but the hardworking young talent, quite frankly, the people in the stands make more with their hourly wages than those in the ring, which is sad and pathetic.
You mean the cast members?
Ah, yes.
Ouch!
Once upon a time, you had a company that had a lot of young and up-and-coming wrestlers, and everybody fought to see them. And then you had Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage and Mr. Perfect and other people show up, and Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo show up, which wind up killing the company. sound familiar?
Oh, we've been. I've seen this wash and dry cycle. I was at the last Thunder.
Well, you and how many hundreds others?
Actually, we had a good house. It was just the fact that they were taping. They ended up taping like 5 hours of programming in one night.
Right.
And included the phone call.
I've seen this play before. We're currently in Act 3. I know the ending.
Yeah, we know how it ends. And right now, and all that's missing is.
Yeah, I mean, all we're missing now is the credits and Georgia Carter coming up and crying immensely, saying how horrible it is and what a shame and a travesty, and she wishes that things could be better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then maybe we'll have Vince McMahon chatting around in the background saying how they just bought out TNA. Or actually, maybe we can have William Regal come out and say how NXT just bought TNA.
Oh, that would
that's
be
around the same level that we're looking at right now.
That would be karma right there if Regal announced it. That would be beautiful.
Yeah, I know.
Was Regal with WCW, too? Yeah, I believe he was.
Yeah. The last Nitro, Giovanni completely threw Regal under the bus. We had to do some pretty weird, strange things at this company, including putting your ass over, Regal. So, karma, ain't it a bitch?
It's usually a bitch served cold, yes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And a pretty damn good female wrestler in her own right. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
She wasn't pregnant, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy, yeah, but the
end game is going to be interesting to see as we go down the summer. I mean, it could be the highway to hell for Impact Wrestling because, okay, yes, they get 2 out of 3 hours of wrestling Wednesday night on Destination America. They're in a position where they can prove themselves. At least the talent is being told they can prove themselves, but really, they've got 3 strikes against them when they can't, make money for themselves, for the company, or for the network they're airing on. Ring of Honor, it's cheap. It's as cheap can get. And Destination America stands to make a few bucks. Ring of Honor gets the necessary national exposure they've been clamoring for. It's a win-win all the way around for both parties.
I thought
it's a win for every single party except the first people invited.
And for those of you guys that were joking about the takeover, there's your picture.
Wow, there's a pic. Gordon, we're going to describe this to you. It's if you remember the takeover in 2001 with Shane and Vince. There's an NXT microphone with Hunter and then a crying Dixie on the other side. So,
but isn't New York City?
Well, unfortunately, that's pretty much how it is. And again, the problem with wrestling and the problem with everything else is that you have a finite audience. And if you're stupid enough to put your programming next to everybody else's programming, and stupid enough to do silly things like pay people that maybe have deserved those salaries a half decade ago, and certainly not now, and extravagantly waste your money, you get what you get. And in this case, what you get is a crying Georgia in the very, very, very sad state of TNA.
Pretty much. And this ain't over yet. This is just the beginning.
So, but definitely,
it may be the beginning, but the words of Young Spear, it's getting late very early.
Yeah. And We're gonna keep building on things as they materialize, but we're gonna save the rest for Friday.
In the interim hours between when you listen to this podcast on WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com, keep with WrestleChat.net both on the website and on Twitter. They will have the latest and most accurate information for you. Brett Clendaniel and company are on this story with a team of reporters and the best insights in the business. So check them out at WrestleChat.net, at WrestleChatNet on Twitter.
Because I ain't giving them no 10 bell.
No, that's for someone who's worthy.
Yeah, I mean, Again, like I said early on in this, just to kind of bring things full circle, because Gordon wasn't here when I said it. In one respect, you feel bad for the talent, but in another, you absolutely don't, because so much of the talent has been sold a bill of goods that right now flood insurance couldn't bail out. And they want to stay on the sinking ship, and they are trained in their mind to believe, maybe hypnotized, one might argue, that they're doing something big, and they're on a part of something. I was listening to Josh Matthews' podcast, his men's lifestyle aficionado podcast, which he almost completely dedicated this week's one to him on Twitter going back and forth about the Samoa Joe thing and about Impact Wrestling if they're going under. And I'm sorry, and I used to be a fan of Josh's in WWE. He reeks of being an apologist and a man who is afraid to admit his failings. He has gone to a company that sold him a bill of goods. You're going to be the voice of the company. If you're the voice of a company when it's dead and nobody listens to you, are you the voice of a company? The answer is no. You're the voice you're voiceless is what you are.
Well, pardon me for being a little bit blue here, but again, from a television standpoint, you know, one of the biggest phrases in the entertainment business is the check will come in the mail and I won't come in your mouth. And so, therefore, if you've been with the company that long where you've had your dick in the mouth for that long, then it's nobody else's fault but yours if all you're feeling is the salty aftertaste afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
no, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that, and that goes with some of the talent there as well. Sold the bill of goods, believing and buying into it, despite the fact they've missed paychecks, as we've chronicled, and as WrestleChat has chronicled over the last 6 to 8 months, especially with the change from Spike to Destination America. It's ECW all over again. It really is.
It's WCW. We've seen this before. And the thing is that we've seen it twice with two major promotions, and the promotions don't learn.
That's the sad thing. And ultimately,
that's the thing that kills me.
And it kills you, and ultimately, it's bad for the business, and it's bad for wrestling fans in this respect. Look, and Nikki, I know you'll get the last word on this, and you've said this countless times on our podcast over the 8 years we've done this. We talk about Impact Wrestling, and we kind of do it with a little bit of a sneer and what have you, but not because we wanted to fail. We wanted to succeed. There is great talent in Impact Wrestling. Nobody denies that. In fact, look, Samoa Joe.
Bobby Roode for one.
Bobby Roode. AJ Styles, of course, was the foundation. And Samoa Joe, the foundation of Impact Wrestling. The X Division was awesome stuff back in the day.
Exactly.
But by and large, you look at what it is now compared to what it was even 5-6 years ago, and you notice a decided drop-off in the way the promotion is being run, the talent, the enthusiasm level behind the scenes. Who in their right mind would want to work there is what I'm asking.
The be-all and end-all was that when they were on Spike, you were getting national TV exposure. And wrestlers will do just about anything for that. This side of Bill DeMott. Anyway,
well, again, you're an independent contractor getting on national TV, so yeah, you've got something in place now, but it's also good for your future, quote unquote.
Exactly. You put that's a money thing you put on your resume, and if you do well where you are, no matter how crappy the atmosphere is, then you send feelers out. Hey, New Japan. Hey, Lucha Underground. Hey, Vince. I'm having some fun over here, but I think I could do better. Do you have room for me? And, Vince now has right of first refusal of the entire wrestling market. So if you're an up-and-comer right now, this is going to help build Ring of Honor. This is why Lucha Underground is doing well. This is why New Japan is doing well in America now. And no, they're not WWE. They don't have to be. The point is you make money. As long as you are turning a profit, you're doing something right.
And see, that in my opinion, was one of the biggest problems with TNA. They tried too hard to be WWE all this time, and look at where it got them.
Exactly. At one point, they were a true alternative. Then all of a sudden, they said, look what WWE's doing. Yeah, let's do that. No! That's why Lucha Underground's got a separate following, because they know they're goofy. They're just going to go completely over the top. New Japan is New Japan.
And by the way, New Japan also has a streaming service, which is also very successful as well. I believe it's called New Japan World, if I remember my name right, which I believe you can get here in the United States. But you also forget the thing that really blew me away. One of the death knells was when Eric Young, who was a bearded small underdog, won the TNA title on a live Impact the week after a small bearded underdog won the show at WrestleMania 30. You know,
wait a minute. Impact stealing from WWE? You don't say.
I do say. Again, there are so many things and so many mistakes that TNA repeated, and this announcement today was the 20th nail in the coffin for them. One of these days, the lid is going to stick.
Josh Matthews has a response, by the way. He was asked by somebody on Twitter, you've been kind of quiet on the subject. What do you think about at Ring of Honor airing right before at Impact Wrestling? His quote, happy for them, happy for wrestling fans. Wednesday night is now wrestling night in America. I'll agree with him on the very last part. It has become wrestling night in America with 5 promotions on, at least at this point as we record this. On Wednesday night between the hours of, say, 8 and midnight, between the internet, and that's a key thing, the internet and on-demand with NXT and cable. So we shall see where this goes over the next 24 to 48 hours between now and our proper podcast on Friday night.
I'll disagree slightly. I think wrestling night is time for leftovers and time for people to build. But the other companies better be really careful. Right now, Next is around as on bigger a role from an independent as I've ever seen, especially with Samoa Joe. You're going to see how big this is going to get. Don't be shocked if you see Next eclipse both Ring of Honor and TNA to the point where they think, well, maybe Wednesday is not the right move. Maybe we need to go to Tuesday or Thursday.
They should have thought of that before they moved them in the first place. NXT is already bigger than TNA.
Right, and theoretically, it is bigger than Ring of Honor right now, to a certain extent. And I think, Gordon, you're absolutely right. We haven't seen the end of the end game for where Ring of Honor will be placed. Wednesday may be over the summer, but come September, that could easily go back to a Thursday or a Friday night, or even over the weekend on a Saturday or a Sunday.
But he was also talking about when NXT would debut on the network, you know. I mean, even though NXT is on demand, there are times when it's shown live, as a matter of fact, in an hour and a half on the East Coast.
Right.
As we speak.
Well, what I'm getting at by that is NXT has the advantage over all of the companies right now in that their product is most easily accessible online in a live or on-demand variety of formats. So.
Right, and Ring of Honor is a close second in embracing the internet
with their iPay-per-views and what have you. They cornered the market on the iPay-per-views, for goodness sakes.
Right, so New Japan and Lucha are catching up, and TNA is just
awfully out of touch.
Hot garbage, I think, is the word.
And then the next line in the Hall & Oates song is out of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was coming from you, Gordon. Very well played.
Well played, sir.
Now put on the wig and start singing for us.
No. You really don't want me to do that.
No, I don't want you to do that.
Actually, no, I don't, because I think we've beaten TNA up plenty good in this past hour.
I mean, if a fat lady is about to sing, all I need to do is get a bra and a wig and put it on Jim Williams, so we're ready to go.
Oh,
woo!
Nice! Very good.
I'll have you know I would make a damn good Kate Smith. Wait a minute, no.
The My Little Pony that should still currently be in your house is a really good
people. Yes!
Oh!
Yes! Yes!
No. That's it. Funny. I can edit that out so it doesn't make the podcast, but I'm too lazy, so I probably won't.
No.
Pony.
Pony. Yeah, Pony, let's ride off into the sunset.
Well, stop the pain, please.
Do I still have that on my cell?
No, you don't. Don't. Get to the finish. Get to the end, please. Don't prolong this like Impact. Please, I'm begging you.
Yes, so for Jason Block, for Chris Waters, who I apologize has been blanked out of most of this, for VRM, who I also apologize, for Gordon Pepper, thank you for joining us.
And anytime, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you're welcome to come swing by on Friday nights, Maggle. But until then, this has been your North American Wrestling Connection emergency broadcast.
Come on, y'all! Let's ride!
Regulators, mount up. So long.